Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, May 12th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
The Wall Street sell-off spreads overseas. Global team coverage straight ahead.
Cryptocurrencies resume declines as Bitcoin nears 25,000.
Investors await another reading on inflation.
And Disney shares drop on the company's growth outlook.
Governor Murphy seeks to require New Jersey insurers to cover abortion costs, plus reaction to the U.S. Senate's vote to block abortion rights. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashow in sports. The Rangers survived. They beat the Penguins to force a game six in Pittsburgh. The Mets lost. Another win for the Yankees.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Hey, good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're watching U.S. stock index futures fall this morning, extending yesterday's sell-off. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 25 points, Dow futures down 146, and NASDAQ futures down 133. The DAX in Germany is down 2.2%. The 10-year Treasury up 21/32, yield 2.83%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.57%. And NYMEX crude oil is down about 2.5%. Nathan.
Yeah, we're going to continue watching this inflation-fueled sell-off, Karen. It's got U.S. stocks beginning this session at their lowest level since March of last year. The hotter-than-expected print we got on consumer prices yesterday is sparking fears that the Federal Reserve may have to unleash even further tightening, and that could tip the economy into recession. Michael Darda is chief economist and macro strategist at MKM Partners.
That's still a major problem for this bond market, a major problem for this Federal Reserve, and as we're seeing, a major problem for the valuations that support the S&P 500.
MKM Partners' Michael Darda says the Fed missed the boat on inflation. The tech-heavy NASDAQ tumbled more than 3% yesterday. It's now lost more than a quarter of its value so far this year. Austin Graff is a portfolio manager at Trumark Investments.
You're seeing a continuation of kind of what we've seen throughout the entire year so far, where you're seeing some of the high flyers the last few years and the growth names trading off.
Trumark Investments' Austin Graff notes Apple is down about 20% from its recent high. In fact, the iPhone maker has now been surpassed by Saudi Aramco as the world's most valuable company.
Well, Nathan, yesterday's sell-off is spreading overseas, and we begin our global team coverage now with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts live in London. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Plenty of red on traders' Bloomberg screens this morning in Europe. Investors taking fright at that stubborn U.S. inflation. The Stoxx 600 down 2.1%. Mining stocks, the worst performing sector, down more than 4%. But real estate and car makers also near the bottom of the table. All 20 industry groups lower this morning. As to the markets, the FTSE here in London, one of the worst performing, down 2.3%. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hey, Ewan, thanks. We saw the same selling pressure overnight in Asia. Let's continue our team coverage now. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index fell to June 2020 lows as new COVID cases in Shanghai dampened prospects for a reopening. Investors also appearing to be unimpressed by Premier Li's comments, urging officials to use fiscal and monetary policies to stabilize employment and the economy. Hong Kong shares came under pressure as the city intervened to defend its currency for the first time since 2019. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Well, we're also seeing cryptocurrencies continue their sell-off this morning. We get the latest on that live from Bloomberg's Renita Young in New York. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Bitcoin is trading at its lowest level since 2020. At one point this morning, it touched just over 25,000. And right now, it's trading at close to 28,000. It's been falling in conjunction with the regular market, but the collapse of the Terra USD stablecoin is triggering a flight from many of the large digital tokens. And backers of the coin are trying to raise about $1.5 billion $1,000 to shore up the token. Stablecoins are key elements of the crypto market. They're where traders park funds as they move them in and out of other tokens. The total value of all stablecoins is beyond $100 billion. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Let's turn to corporate earnings on Wall Street now. That's what's driving shares of Disney lower, down about 5% in early trading. The company reported subscriber gains for its flagship streaming service. Those beat estimates, but Disney's also tempering its outlook for the year. We get the details on that from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Disney said it will trim spending on movies and TV shows. On the conference call, CEO Bob Chapek said Disney is lowering its projection for overall film and TV spending by $1 billion to $32 billion this year. Disney did report better than expected growth in its flagship Disney Plus streaming service while saying half of Disney Plus subscribers are adults without kids. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Well, on the economic front today, we'll get another key reading on inflation. The producer price index comes out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Inflation isn't going away soon, but it may ease a bit. Producer prices are forecast to have increased more slowly in April, following a stronger-than-expected gain the previous month. While food prices continued to accelerate, oil prices retreated in April. Supply chain snarls could worsen amid China's COVID lockdowns, suggesting wholesale inflation will be slow to recede. Coming after a firm April CPI, the PPI is unlikely to add much to market thinking about inflation or the Fed's plans for raising rates. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. As the Fed fights inflation, it's adding another member to its ranks. The Senate has confirmed a third nominee of President Biden's to the Fed board. Lawmakers confirmed economist Philip Jefferson as Fed governor yesterday. Today, Senate Democrats expect to vote on Jerome Powell's bid for a second term as Federal Reserve Chair.
And in the markets this morning, Nathan, we're seeing the impact of the recent bond sell-off. PIMCO saw clients pull more than $14 billion from its funds last quarter as investors fled fixed income securities amid rising interest rates.
Well, the sell-off in equities continues this morning, Karen, with S&P futures now down 28 points, Dow futures down 176, NASDAQ futures are lower by 137 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 23 32nds. Yield on the 10-year, 2.82%. Straight ahead, local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 60 degrees in Central Park. So far, so good on the roads. Hope I'm not jinxing it. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says he's backing legislation to protect and expand abortion access in the state. Murphy says that includes a requirement that insurers cover costs of the procedure.
Abortion is health care, and health care decisions should be left up to the individual. Your body belongs to you.
Governor Murphy says no one should be criminalized for getting the care they need. It is the latest step taken by Democrats after a leaked opinion indicated the U.S. Supreme Court will overturn the landmark Roe v. Wade decision. The Democratic leadership in the U.S. Senate has failed in its attempt to codify abortion rights into law. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The vote to move the bill to the floor needed 60 ayes. It got 49. Vice President Kamala Harris immediately made it a campaign issue.
And let's be clear, the majority of the American people believe in defending a woman's right, her choice, to decide what happens to her own body.
And Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, though, says he doesn't understand the uproar.
Democrats are melting down because the Supreme Court may uphold a Mississippi law that would limit abortion after 15 weeks.
The final Supreme Court opinion and ruling is due most probably in June. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Finnish leaders have announced Finland must join NATO without delay, given Russia's invasion in Ukraine. Neighboring Sweden is expected to decide on joining NATO in the coming days. New York City Mayor Eric Adams and the NYPD are demanding the federal government revoke the business license of a prominent gun manufacturer they blame for the increase of ghost guns in the city. Adams says the company Polymer 80 sells untraceable, ready-to-assemble gun parts online. It comes as crime is on the rise in New York. Former New York Congressman Joe Crowley says the economic impact of the pandemic is partly to blame.
I think this is all related in many respects to what's happened in terms of coming in out of this virus, the COVID-19, the impact that it's had on the overall economy.
Former Democratic Congressman Joe Crowley spoke on Bloomberg's Balance of Power with David Westin. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stasha.
Good morning, Nathan. The Rangers, had they lost last night, would have been playing golf today. Instead, they're traveling back to Pittsburgh for Game 6 tomorrow at the Garden. They trailed the Penguins 2-0 and then came alive.
Truba has it at the right point. Sidesteps Carter. Moving in. Truba, backhand shot, he scores! 3-2 Rangers! Unbelievable.
98-70 ESPN. Three Ranger goals in 2 minutes, 42 seconds. But 13 seconds after the Rangers took the lead, the Penguins tied it on Jake Gensel's second goal of the night, seventh of the series. So Game 5 was tied.
Toronto lost control of the puck. Now comes the Heedle, who shoots and scores. Philip Heedle gives the Rangers the lead with a power play goal early in period 3.
Empty netter at the end. The Rangers won 5-3. But can they win in Pittsburgh where they just lost 7-4 and 7-2? Will the Penguins have Sidney Crosby? He left last night with an injury. Florida beat Washington. Calgary beat Dallas. Both go up 3-2. NBA, Milwaukee came from 14 down in the fourth quarter to win Game 5 in Boston. Memphis beat Golden State by 39. Bucks and Warriors have the 3-2. Series lead. At the stadium, another win for the sizzling hot Yankees. They made it 15 of their last 17, beat Toronto 5-3. Gleyber Torres drove in all five. Mets had a 3-0 first inning lead in Washington. Pete Alonso homered with the Nationals with five in the bottom of the first and three more in the second. Eight runs off Tyler McGill, only got four outs. The Nationals won it 8-3. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thanks, John. S&P futures now down 29 points. Dow futures down 185. NASDAQ futures down 143 points. Bitcoin lower by 3.2% right now at about $27,500 as the sell-off continues on renewed worries over inflation. We speak next with Drew Mattis, Chief Market Strategist at MetLife. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, partial sunshine today with highs in the low 70s. Scattered showers possible tomorrow with a high near 70, and showers continue for Saturday with highs in the low 70s. Right now, 61 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks and U.S. stock index futures are tumbling as stubborn inflation in the world's biggest economy adds to the case for more aggressive monetary tightening by the Federal Reserve. This is after the S&P 500 dropped yesterday to its lowest since March of last year. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 29 points. Dow futures down 183. NASDAQ futures down 142. The DAX in Germany is down 2.5%. 10-year Treasury up 20-30 seconds. Yield 2.84%. The yield on the 2-year 2.57%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.1% on $2.23 at $103.50 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $5 at $18.48.70 an ounce. The euro 1.0441 against the dollar. British pound 1.2198. And the yen at 128.71. Bitcoin this morning falling down 2.9%. at $27,580. And today we're looking for a report on inflation at the wholesale level at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the weekly report on initial jobless claims. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Ukraine's military says Russian forces are continuing airstrikes on the steel plant in Mariupol. It comes in day 78 of the war. Finland's president and prime minister say they're in favor of applying for NATO membership. Neighboring Sweden is expected to decide on joining NATO in coming days. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers stay alive after beating the Penguins in Game 5. The Capitals lost to the Panthers to fall behind in that series 3-2. NBA playoffs, the Celtics lost to the Bucks and are now on the brink of elimination. The Warriors lost to the Grizzlies. Golden State still leads that series 3-2. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost to the Nationals, Red Sox and Orioles lost, Giants and A's won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we continue to watch the selling on inflation worries. Drew Mattis joins us now, Chief Market Strategist at MetLife Investment Management. Drew, it's good to speak with you this morning. It sounds kind of silly to ask whether this sell-off has further to run, because it seems like market participants are heading for the hills here. But I wonder if you're looking at any particular indicators to try to gauge whether there could be a bottom to this sell-off.
Well, I think it's interesting how you describe what's going on, because I see it as a sell-off because people are afraid the Fed's going to try to handle inflation like they did in the 1970s. When you actually see what's happening with things like forward inflation measures, it's pretty clear that the market thinks the Fed can handle inflation. They're just worried that they're going to. And that's not to say that the Fed shouldn't try to contain inflation, but given that inflation is supply chain driven, maybe trying to get it back down to 2% or even substantially below where it currently is, might not be the appropriate policy.
So if you say that inflation is supply chain driven, does that imply that the Fed might not feel as much pressure as the market is putting out there for something like a 75 basis point rate hike sooner than has been telegraphed?
Well, I think that's right. I think one of the misconceptions is that, you know, Powell's been very hawkish. At the last meeting, he had the chance to go 75. It wasn't fully priced in, but there were some people expecting it, and it would have been less of a surprise. And he had the chance to start quantitative tightening, you know, the next day. And instead they decided to push that off a month. So, I think what's really going on is the Fed understands part of the inflation problem is not one that can be solved. It's the supply chain side of it. There is some of it that's excess demand, and they're certainly acting on that. But I think the market thinks that the Fed sees everything as an excess demand story. And I actually think they're misreading the Fed. I think Powell's been very, maybe a little too clever at kind of, what the Fed's capable of and what the Fed isn't capable of and what they're going to try to achieve.
So do you think that the narrative in the market could shift based on what we get from consumer prices from producer prices later this morning?
It could. You know, the CPI data yesterday was not helpful to the idea that the Fed, it could be doing the right thing if we're reading them correctly. But at the same point, we did see inflation begin to peak. It's still running very high. But in my mind, what the Fed is really targeting is their 2% target plus whatever percentage of inflation they think is due to supply chains, i.e. the stuff that they can't control. And so in my mind, when you're thinking about where the Fed will stop, they'll stop once they control the inflation that they think they can control, and they'll hope that supply chains work themselves out over time.
So what's your outlook then for whether we could be in for a recession later this year or next year? And where do you see inflation going by the end of this year based on what happens with supply chains? Doesn't it make it tougher to sort of gauge where things go based on supply chain factors?
It does. And I think that's the reason the market's kind of behaving the way it is it's very difficult to kind of see what the end game is. So, from our point of view, we see inflation drifting into the mid fours. So it's going to be elevated, but it's not particularly horrible. And then on the recession question, we don't expect a recession this year. We would look for, if there's going to be a recession, we think it would be, margin led. So firms see contracting margins. They begin to cut back on employment and investment. And we think that takes time to play out and is more likely a late 23, early 2024 scenario.
So in the last 30 seconds then, Drew, do you see opportunities in this market?
Well, I just think you look at what's overdone. So yeah, I would say there probably are opportunities. We think yields are heading back down. to kind of the 225 range by the end of the year. And I think that's, you know, for an insurance company, that's kind of an opportunity right there.
All right, Drew Mattis, thanks for this. Really appreciate it. Drew Mattis is Chief Market Strategist at MetLife Investment Management. As we continue to track the sell-off this morning, we have S&P futures now down 27 points, Dow futures are lower by 165 points, and NASDAQ futures leading declines right now down 140 points or 1.2%. Right now, the 10-year Treasury is up 23, 30 seconds, pushing the yield down just shy of 2.83%, and the yield on the 2-year right now is at 2.57%. Looking at commodities, NYMEX crude is lower by 2.1% right now, down $2.17 for $103.54 a barrel. Just ahead, much more on this sell-off, and Disney's outlook, not so magical. Top stories of the morning straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, partly sunny, low 70s today. Scattered showers possible tomorrow with a high near 70 degrees. And we're looking for low 70s on Saturday with a chance for showers. Right now, 61 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Yesterday's hot inflation reading is sending markets downward. Stocks begin the session at their lowest level since March of 2021. Former New York Fed Governor Bill Dudley says Fed Chair Jay Powell may have to tighten monetary policy more than he's planning to.
I think it's 4 to 5 or higher. You know, I was 3 to 4 maybe 6 months ago. I'm 4 to 5. Wouldn't shock me if I'm, you know, 5 to 6 a few months from now.
Former New York Fed Governor Bill Dudley says the Federal Reserve has not forcefully stated how it will lower inflation to 2%. We'll get another key inflation reading this morning when the producer price index is released.
Well, markets in Europe and Asia are down as well, Karen. European stocks are poised for their fifth straight week of declines.
And crypto assets are tumbling, Nathan. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Bitcoin is trading at its lowest level since 2020. It touched just over 25,000 this morning and is now trading at close to 28,000. It's been falling in conjunction with the regular market, but the collapse of the Terra USD stablecoin is triggering a flight from many of the large digital tokens. Backers of the coin are trying to raise about $1.5 billion to shore up the token. Stablecoins are key elements of the crypto market. There were traders park funds as they move in and out of other tokens. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. To corporate earnings now, Disney shares are moving lower after the company lowered its spending projections for TV and film content. Gerber Kawasaki, CEO and Disney investor Ross Gerber, thinks strong subscriber growth in Disney's streaming service reflects overall positive signs for the company.
Disney had very good results for their streaming businesses and much better than we expected, because obviously we thought they had a tough comparison to the COVID era. And, you know, quite frankly, all of their businesses are starting to improve now.
Gerber Kawasaki CEO Ross Gerber spoke with Emily Chang on Bloomberg Technology, which you can watch weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Television.
Well, Nathan, in the nation's capital, the SEC is reportedly probing whether Elon Musk broke rules last month when he disclosed a large stake in Twitter. Musk is also facing FTC inquiries over taking Twitter private.
Also in the nation's capital, Karen, the Senate has confirmed economist Philip Jefferson as Fed governor and expects to vote today to confirm Fed chair Jerome Powell to a second term.
And S&P futures are down 37 points this morning. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
5:33 on Wall Street, 61 degrees, and so far so good on the roads. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is taking additional steps to protect abortion rights. Murphy wants his state to make midwives, advanced practice nurses, and physicians' assistants clear to provide abortions.
We remain steadfast in our commitment to ensuring that all New Jerseyans have access to reproductive health care, including abortion, and we stand with women across the nation who are facing inevitable hardships on the horizon.
Governor Murphy also wants in-state insurance companies to cover abortions. Senate Republicans, along with Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, have blocked a bill to turn abortion rights into federal law. This, as Supreme Court justices are set to meet today for the first time since a draft opinion that would overturn Roe v. Wade was leaked to the media. Finnish leaders have announced Finland must join NATO without delay, given Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Finland's Foreign Minister Pekka Haavisto addressed the EU Committee on Foreign Affairs in Brussels this morning.
Russia and its representatives must be held accountable for the consequences and effects of the illegal war of aggression.
Foreign Minister Haavisto says a few months have changed everything. Meanwhile, Sweden could give its decision on joining NATO in a few days. Mandatory evacuations are underway in parts of Orange County, Southern California, as a wind-driven wildfire moves through. The so-called coastal fire has nearly burned about 200 acres and destroyed nearly two dozen homes since it broke out yesterday afternoon. North Korea imposed a nationwide lockdown today to control its first acknowledged COVID-19 outbreak. The country has a poor healthcare system, and its 26 million people are believed to be mostly unvaccinated. Some experts say the North, by its rare admission of an outbreak, may be seeking outside aid. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. John Stajar is the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Rangers facing elimination, trailing the Penguins 3-1, trailing Game 5 at the Garden 2-0, but after no goals in 35 minutes, 3 goals in 2 minutes and 42 seconds, Adam Fox, Alexis Lafreniere, Jacob Trouba, then third period, a Ranger power play and the first playoff goal for Philip Hedl. Rangers with an empty netter right at the end. They beat the Penguins 5-3. They still trail the series 3-2. The Ranger concern is whether they can now win in Pittsburgh Game 6 tomorrow. The Penguins' concern, an injury suffered last night to their star, Sidney Crosby. Florida beat Washington. Calgary beat Dallas. NBA Memphis at one point led Golden State by 55. The Grizzlies won by 39. 40 points for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Milwaukee rallied to win in Boston. The Celtics took out the Nets in round one. Nets GM Sean Marks met the media in Brooklyn to talk about how to get better.
You know, we have prided ourselves on the past with finding players with a chip on their shoulder, with a resilience, with something to prove. We're going to have to go back to that. We're going to have to go back to looking a little bit more at development, looking more at finding the right characteristics of a player that fits here.
And when asked about locking up Kyrie Irving with a new long-term deal, Mark said he's not committing to that. In D.C., the Nationals got to Tyler McGill, beat the Mets 8-3 with all the scoring coming in the first two innings. McGill got only four outs, gave up eight runs, eight hits. The series ends this afternoon. The Yankees will visit the White Sox tonight. They just beat Toronto 5-3. Gleyber Torres drove in all five. The Yanks have won 15 of their last 17. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. Almost 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Manhattan apartment rents soared in April to a record high for a third consecutive month. Signs point to even costlier rates on the horizon. Tenants paid a median of $3,870 on new leases signed last month. That's up 6.2% from the previous record set in March and 39% from April 2021. Lucrative tax credits and years of growing demand for streaming content have fueled the growth of the film production industry in New York. Dow Jones reports the total amount of soundstage square footage has increased 14% across New York and New Jersey since January 2021. New Jersey transit ridership is recovering further as COVID restrictions ease and workers increasingly head into the office again. Weekday rail ridership is more than 55% of pre-pandemic levels, up from last month's level of above 50%. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm John Tucker for WINS in New York. I'm reporting Manhattan apartment rents soared in April to a record high.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Egg prices are skyrocketing, jumping more than 20% in April.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting on new data showing Illinois among states with the lowest percentages of equity-rich properties in the first quarter.
I'm Lisa Mateo, and on KMOX in St. Louis, I'll be reporting on breakfast getting even more expensive.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting four Florida metros are considered equity-rich. Homeowners with mortgages have at least 50% equity.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting Lordstown Motors has closed on the sale of a plant to Foxconn.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. With an eye on the midterm elections, Republicans have highlighted a surge in illegal crossings at the southern border to attack President Joe Biden's handling of immigration. Their criticism is not unwarranted. Biden has largely failed to implement a coherent border policy. This, in turn, is making it harder to create the immigration system the country badly needs. Biden should compromise on lifting pandemic-era border restrictions and press Congress to commit more resources to strengthen border security. After containing the challenges at the border, Biden could then begin to forge a bipartisan coalition to reform the legal immigration system. A Canadian-style system that prioritized highly skilled immigrants would encourage economic growth, and polls show that it could command public support. But for that to become a reality, the U.S. government must prove it can contain illegal immigration first. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Red headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal. Japan's Coast Guard says North Korea may have fired a ballistic missile. We're following that for you. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, partial sunshine today with highs in the low 70s. Scattered showers possible tomorrow with a high near 70. We'll be in the low 70s again on Saturday with a chance for showers to start the weekend. Right now, 61 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks and U.S. stock index futures are tumbling as stubborn inflation in the world's biggest economy adds to the case for more aggressive monetary tightening by the Fed. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 26 points. Dow futures down 166 and NASDAQ futures down 130. The DAX in Germany is down 2.25%. 10-year Treasury up 26 32nds, yield 2.81%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.56%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4% at $1.51 at $104.19 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $4.10 at $18.49.50 an ounce. The euro 1.0433 against the dollar, British pound 1.2183, and the yen at 128.73, and Bitcoin lower down 2.33% at $27,750. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The U.S. Supreme Court will gather today for the first time since the leak of a majority draft opinion that suggests the court will overturn Roe v. Wade. It comes after the U.S. Senate failed to pass a measure to enshrine abortion rights in federal law. Ukraine's military says Russian forces unleashed airstrikes on the last pocket of Ukrainian resistance in the besieged city of Mariupol. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers stay alive after beating the Penguins. The Capitals lost to the Panthers to fall behind in that series 3-2. NBA playoffs, the Celtics lost to the Bucks. They are now on the brink of elimination. The Warriors lost to the Grizzlies. Golden State still leads that series 3-2. Baseball, the Yankees won. Mets lost to the Nationals. Red Sox and Orioles lost. Giants and A's won. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. Just about 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we keep an eye on Disney shares this morning, they're losing value, down more than 5% in the pre-market right now. The entertainment colossus came out with better than expected earnings, but the outlook seems to be what's weighing on the shares this morning. Let's get more insights now. Geetha Ranganathan is with us now, media analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Geetha, it's always good to speak with you, and I know you, along with a lot of analysts, were keeping a very close eye on the subscriber numbers for Disney Plus. Those came in better than expected. Shouldn't that be sort of balancing things out a little bit? What's your view?
Yeah, it should. I mean, this is surprising to me, honestly. Good morning, Nathan. Thanks for having me. So, you know, as far as Disney's results yesterday were concerned, I think they blew it out of the park. I think this was an A-plus report card on all fronts. I mean, the two key metrics that we were looking for, obviously, was the subscriber number and the park profits, and they outperformed on both scores. But you really have to look at the market right now. I mean, if after those numbers, they came in 75% ahead of consensus estimates and they're still 5% down, this really tells you that the market is just extremely nervous about the whole streaming model right now. It is not as attractive a model as we were thinking it would be. And even the slightest hint of, you know, kind of the growth in the second half, second half of 2022 not being as maybe gangbusters as analysts had previously expected, that's what's kind of weighing down on the stock a little bit. But really, I mean, I think it's a bit of an overreaction, honestly.
Well, I wonder if the commentary we got from Disney yesterday about where they see the streaming service going sort of changes your view on the streaming market overall when they're talking about, you know, tempering subscriber growth, potentially bringing in more of an ad-based Disney Plus. How does that affect your view on streaming?
So I think the one thing that, you know, people have kind of really now understood about the streaming business is, you know, first of all, there were questions about what the total addressable market was. You know, that there was a point when we were thinking that maybe it was, you know, 800, 900 million, 1 billion subscribers. But when Netflix reported, they obviously kind of really tempered down those expectations. Now, Disney, on the other hand, has been pretty consistent all along. So they have guided to about 250 million subscribers by fiscal 2024. They went ahead and reiterated that target yesterday. So, you know, I think they have a pretty good strategy in place. Now, the second big thing that people are looking for really is the profitability metric. And we know that for you to be successful in the streaming business, you have to spend billions and billions and billions of dollars before you can even make a single dollar in profit. This is a capital intensive business. And again, Disney Plus is not making any money right now in terms of profit, but they did reiterate that they are going to turn profitable in fiscal 2024. I just think the market is not that patient right now. They are worried about near-term profitability, and we see this kind of affecting all the all of the streaming players, and of course Disney doesn't seem to be any exception as well.
In our last minute here, of course, they're not just relying on the streaming business. They've got cable properties. They've got that parks business, cruise lines. Are they going to be sort of leaning on the in-person entertainment, for lack of a better word, at least in the short term, to give investors a little more confidence?
Yeah, this is why I think Disney is such a great company, a unique company, right? They have that perfect hedge. If you're stuck at home, you have the streaming business. If you have the reopening trade with the parks, and the parks are really, I mean, they knocked it out of the park. You know, sorry for the pun, but you know, the parks are jammed right now. There is just so much of pent up demand, and I think even with this economic overhang and, you know, recessionary fears, I think this time is going to be a little bit different. People have just been cooped up so long inside their houses. I think they're really looking to get out. I don't think it's going to weigh on the parks as much as people are fearing.
Thanks for this, Geetha. Always great to get your thoughts. Geetha Ranganathan, media analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Karen.
All right, Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report, and we get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Ninth Circuit dealt a blow to California's gun control efforts, ruling that the state's near total ban on the sale of semi-automatic rifles to young adults likely violates the Second Amendment. New York State will create a state agency to supervise the unregulated pharmacy benefit management industry. It's part of an effort to keep drug costs low. A federal judge ruled that a Kansas McDonald's may have subjected a female department manager to sex-based discrimination, harassment, and retaliation. The case will go to trial.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Right, Jeff, thank you. Now another legal story we're watching. The Senate rushed yesterday into an almost certain-to-fail vote toward enshrining Roe v. Wade abortion access as federal law. If the Supreme Court overturns Roe, as expected, a woman's right to an abortion will depend on the state she lives in. And many abortion rights activists fear that the end of Roe is just the beginning. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Mary Ziegler, a professor at UC Davis Law School.
The next battleground... Well, there are a few battlegrounds. So let's say one of the next battlegrounds is states trying to stop their residents from traveling across state lines to terminate a pregnancy. Can states enforce their laws beyond their borders?
The answer is we don't know. So the extraterritorial application of these laws is something that hasn't, or even really any laws, is something that hasn't been dealt with a lot in recent history. We have one case that isn't really directly on point from the Roe era. And then to look back further, you really have to go to the days of kind of fugitive slave disputes to really get into this kind of interstate war. So I don't know is the answer. And so that's one of the reasons you see blue states anticipating these struggles and passing laws like the one in Connecticut, essentially saying we're not going to comply with these requests. We're going to protect our doctors. But how, you know, those disputes will be resolved, whether what the red state would be doing would be constitutional is unclear. Which state's law would apply in those circumstances is unclear. And the great irony of it all, of course, is that if that's contested, it's going to end right back up in the Supreme Court, which in this draft is telling us that, you know, things are going to become much more peaceful when the court gets out of the abortion business and this goes back to the states.
Another next battleground is medication abortion or abortion pills, which account for more than half of recent abortions, according to stats. Is this the most workable option in the future for getting an abortion?
It may well be. Medication abortion obviously isn't applicable throughout pregnancy. At the moment, the FDA only authorizes it for the first 10 weeks. But it is becoming the preferred method, and it is relatively hard to trace. It is something that people can get in states where abortion is illegal from organizations like Aid Access that operate internationally. But I think in a post-Roe world, no abortion method will be really free of potential consequences for people seeking it, unfortunately.
How would states go about cracking down on medication abortions?
Well, much in the same way they would crack down on other drugs, just by probably selectively prosecuting people they find with those drugs. And I think we haven't seen entirely how states are going to do this. We're likely to see more digital surveillance. We're likely to see more bounty programs. We're likely to see more selective prosecution. And so I think what we've seen so far is just the tip of the iceberg.
And that's Mary Ziegler, a professor at UC Davis Law School, speaking with the Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. Futures falling this morning. S&P futures down 27 points. Dow futures down 181. And NASDAQ futures down 133. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.